Shall we turn together to Luke, the fifth chapter? We're going to think mainly about Peter. As you know, as you remember, in the first chapter of John, Peter is led by his brother to Christ. Peter comes and tells him, "We found the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah." But he not only informed him, he actually brought him to Jesus Christ. Sometime after that, after his conversion, Peter received a direct call from Jesus. It's found in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, also found in Mark 1. But in this time, Jesus didn't use anybody at all. First, he used Andrew to bring Peter to himself, but this time, he spoke to him directly. And this is what he said. "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." He was speaking to the two brothers together. "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." And here we find both a call and a promise. The one who, through Andrew, had called to Peter and said, "Come unto me," now said, "Come after me." You see, when Jesus says, "Come after me," he's not talking of a once-for-all act. Come unto me, yes, we come to Jesus. But when we say, "Come after me," we see Jesus walking on down the road, and we are to follow. It's not a once-for-all act. It's something which is going to require at least a period of time until the promise is realized. At least that long. But Peter found out it was going to last longer than that. That it was going to last all through his life. Because just before Jesus went back to heaven, he said the same thing to Peter. "Be ye following me. Be ye following me." Now this involves faith, first of all. We're not going to follow someone if we don't trust them. So it means that we first of all have to trust Jesus. To trust him enough to say, well, he knows what he's doing. He knows the right way to take me. And he's going to meet all of my needs. He's going to care for me. I can trust him. And that also involves obedience. It means I have to put aside my own desires, put aside my own will, and to embrace his will. So faith and obedience is involved. Can you see Peter walking down after Jesus? Remember when he put one foot down, said faith. When he put the other foot down, obedience. And there it was all along, faith and obedience. Trust, obey. Trust, obey. And this is the way we follow. And then there's a wonderful promise of what Jesus will do. He said, "I will make you. I will make you fishers of men." You don't make yourself. Men aren't going to make you. I will make you fishers of men. And so in this call and the promise, I think there are two major things that we see about Jesus. The first part, the call, "Come unto me and we're going to follow him," I believe that's showing Jesus as our shepherd. And the sheep follow him. And the shepherd gives the orders, and the shepherd takes upon himself the responsibility of caring for the sheep, protecting the sheep, providing for the sheep. The second picture of Jesus is he's the creator, the maker. "I will make you." Now we come to Luke 5. Some feel that Luke 5 is simultaneous with Matthew 4 and Mark 1. Others say no, it's part of the same call of Jesus, but it came a little bit later, that there were two parts to this call. First, where Jesus says, "Come after me," and then later at this place where Jesus had been using Peter's boat After he was finished preaching from that boat, he said, put out into the deep. And you remember what happened? Peter says, put out to the deep. We fished all night. We didn't catch anything. But at your word, I'll do it. And you remember what happened when those nets went down and so many fish came that Peter's heart was just gripped, and he saw himself in the light of Jesus, and he says, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. And Jesus said, fear not. Ye shall be catching men. Not just the plain future, you will catch men, but that which is going to keep on in the future. You're going to keep on catching men. There was that promise. And as he gave us that promise, he reminds us here in this passage that the promise is not based upon Peter's knowledge. If the Lord had gone according to Peter's knowledge that day, there wouldn't have been any catch of fish at all. Peter says it's senseless, useless. So it's that promise is not based upon Peter's knowledge. It's not based upon Peter's worthiness. Because Peter knew what he was. I'm a sinful man. Not just that I've committed this sin or that sin, but I'm a sinful man. I'll be able to look in myself tomorrow and the next day, I'll never see anything good in there. I'm a sinful man. That's right. But I'm not making that promise on the basis of your worthiness, Peter. This is pure grace. I will make you solely by grace. And when it's all finished, Peter will be able to say, along with his fellow apostle Paul, by the grace of God, I am what I am. But you know, when we see this gracious promise, when that grips our heart that God's going to do something by grace, it has a wonderful effect in our lives. And it had an effect in Peter's life. You know what he did? He left all and followed Jesus. A-L-L. He left all and followed Jesus. He understood what was involved when Jesus said, come after me. He saw what the Lord was looking for, and he left all to follow Jesus. He didn't forget that later on when the rich young ruler, you know, who came to Jesus to find out how to be saved, and when the Lord spoke to him, that rich young ruler didn't want to leave all. He didn't want to give up his wealth, and he walked away sad. And Peter reminded Christ, he says, lo, we have left all and followed thee. What then shall we have? We have left all and followed thee. He remembered that. And then the Lord Jesus, in answering that, says this. First, he tells what's going to happen to the apostles alone, but then he says this. Verse 29 of Matthew 19. And everyone that hath left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, and then you're going to have a little note there, footnote, some include wife next. If it's not found here, at least it is in Luke's account. Wife and or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit eternal life. What's involved in leaving all? Well, it means leaving all your wealth, all your possessions, leaving your family, your parents, leaving your wife, leaving your children. In what sense? In the sense that Jesus must be first. Jesus must be first. And Peter did that. When he saw that gracious promise of Christ, I will make you fishers of men. You shall be continually catching fish. Men. Then he left all to follow Jesus. And that's all that Christ asked. Doing that, he guarantees, Jesus Christ himself guarantees that there will be fruit in our service. He assures us of it. I will make you. You shall be catching alive men. There's that promise. Someone may say, well, that sounds a little bit too simplistic. You know, suppose somebody has real difficulty in understanding. Suppose somebody flunks out of CBC, actually. Wouldn't that sort of cancel this promise? Or suppose somebody's got a faith, you know, you said that this involves faith. Suppose somebody has a faith that seems to be up and down and up and down. Wouldn't that cancel out this promise? Or suppose somebody really gets tripped up in a horrible sin. Wouldn't that cancel out this promise? And the best answer to that is the life of Peter himself. Because all of these things were true of Peter. But Christ made Peter a fisher of men. He made him continually catch fish. In fact, even in his death, he glorified God. Even until that time. Oh, I want to see with you now to what extent Christ went with Peter in order to make him a fisher of men. What did Jesus do to Peter? That's what I want to look at. Now, we're not going to be able to look at a whole lot of this, but maybe I can whet your appetite to go in and dig some more. First of all, he taught Peter. He taught him. He taught him by word. He taught him by his life. He taught him by his deeds. He taught him by the tests that he brought into Peter's life, such as when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he said, "Watch with me." And boy, he flunked that test. But Christ actually taught Peter. What did he teach him about? Again, we can't go into all the things that he taught him about, but he taught him about himself, first of all. Jesus Christ was anxious to teach Peter about himself, and he did. At a time when different disciples were wandering away and forsaking Christ, Christ came to the apostles and he said, "Will you go away also?" And Peter answered, he says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we have believed and know that thou art the Holy One of God." You see, he had been taught. A little bit later on, you remember when Jesus asked him, he says, "Who do men say I am? And whom do you say that I am?" Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And at that time, Jesus reminded Peter why he was learning. Why did Peter grasp that when others didn't? He said, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven." Oh, there was someone on the inside working that Peter might understand. Peter didn't learn everything at once. And one of the things that Jesus had to teach Peter was about himself. And it happened right after this, too, was one great example when he taught him about himself. He started to tell him about how he was going to the cross, and Peter said, "Never, Lord, you can't go to the cross." Ooh, have you ever noticed the Lord's reply? It was not the first time Jesus spoke these words. He spoke them way back as he was about to begin his ministry back in the wilderness. He said the same words that he said that day. "Get thee behind me, Satan." This was no time to talk with the student back and forth. This was a time for rebuke. This was a time to remind Peter that he who had been taught by God in this area was now the mouthpiece of Satan in this area. It says, "Thou mindest the things not of God, but of men." These things are opposites. The purposes of God, the ways of God are holy and they save. The ways of men, the methods of men, the purposes of men are sinful and destructive. Peter, do you see a picture of yourself? Do you see what you're like? One moment you can be taught by God, and the next, very next moment, you can be speaking for Satan himself. Well, that's certainly a reminder to me, isn't it, as a teacher? It's not enough at some times to be giving forth the word of God. Oh, how to take care at all times that we're taught of God. Not every teacher, you see, is always speaking the word of God. Not every writer of a book is always speaking the word of God. Sometimes, just like Peter, they can be used by Satan. And you know, Peter didn't learn a lesson that day. Peter was hearing Christ talking about his death. And he never learned the lesson that day. Sometimes students in classes fail to understand the lesson. Not because of any fault in the one who's communicating, but because of fault on the inside. In fact, you'll find in the scriptures, when it talks about communication, generally the scriptures are talking about the fault of those who hear. This is the great emphasis. And if I'm allowing Satan to control me, I'll miss lessons, just as Peter missed that day. He got this lesson, but he missed the next one. Because here he was thinking as men think. But the Lord not only taught Peter, he manifested his power in behalf of Peter. I don't mean just Peter was around to see a miracle. I mean Jesus was actually doing miracles in behalf of Peter. It started off in Peter's home when his mother-in-law was sick. This was right back when Jesus called him. And the first thing that Christ did for Peter was to work in Peter's home. Can you imagine what would have gone on there? Peter comes home and he tells his wife that he's decided to leave all and follow Jesus. You mean you're not going to keep the fishing boats? You're not going to bring the fish in for our money? No, I'm going to leave all and follow Jesus. Don't you realize I'm not going to be able to go with you now? My mother's here. We got a responsibility of keeping my mother. Do you see a problem that could come up in a home? And the very first place that Christ manifested his power in behalf of Peter was that miracle in the home. I'm positive the wife had no problems after that. To see Jesus come in, touch that mother-in-law who was sick, and raise her up. Oh, yes, a person like that can take care of our family. A person like that can meet the problems in our home. Go ahead, Peter. I'm glad you left all to follow someone like that. And the first miracle was right in Peter's home. The second one had to do with Peter's life. Peter was in a boat in a storm. They weren't getting anywhere. It was a dangerous place. And then they saw Jesus walking on the water. And when they recognized who it was, Peter said, "Lord, bid me come on the water unto you." He loved him so much. And a remark like that will only come from somebody who really loves the Lord and trusts the Lord. To walk on the water. Peter had never seen anybody walk on the water beside Christ. He said, "Bid me come." And then just one word from the mouth of Jesus, "Come." And there's Peter walking on the water. And then you know what happened? Got his eyes off Jesus, and he began to look at the waves, the wind, and he started to sink. And of course, Jesus says, well, that's too bad, Peter. You should have just trusted me, and it wouldn't have happened. No, he's got him. He's got him. And there was a great miracle for Peter again now. What was this for? Well, it taught Peter something. It taught him, a great lesson that you and I need to learn too. That the winds and the wave can never bring us harm. The only thing that can harm us is unbelief. Peter had no chance of sinking because of the wind and the waves. They couldn't do anything to him. It's only when he got his eyes off Jesus that he was in danger. That's the only thing that can harm us. But more than that, I'm not even thinking about the lesson that Peter learned. Jesus saved Peter's life. If Christ hadn't done a miracle for him right there, he'd have drowned. But you see how Christ comes to the rescue? We say our faith isn't perfect yet. It seems, we're up and down in faith. Oh, yes. The Lord knows this. And he's promised if we follow him with our weak faith, he's going to make us. And the only way he can make us a fisher of men is to keep us alive. So he keeps us alive. You know, the Lord showed his power in Peter's service. One day he said to Peter, you know, I want you to do something for me. Isn't it a joy to be able to have Christ say, do something for me? It wasn't anything spectacular. It was to pay the temple tax. Well, boy, that's not much more exciting than the college service. Pay the temple tax. Ah, yes. But Jesus wanted to show his power in something like that. He says, go out, throw in your line, and the first fish you catch, there's going to be a coin in his mouth to pay the tax. Just for Peter, this is done. Just for Peter. Nobody else around. Just for Peter. That one who said, okay, Lord, I'll leave everything, and I'm going to follow you. And then, you know, the last time I see him do a miracle just for Peter is when Peter goofed. Ooh, he goofed. They were in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Judas and the others had come to take Christ. And Peter thinks he's going to have to defend Christ. He gets his sword out, and he starts to swing, and he got a guy's ear. And it was the high priest's slave's ear. I don't know what would have happened to Peter, except that Jesus overruled his goof, and he healed the man's ear. Oh, what power Christ manifested for Peter in order to make him what he promised to make him. But you know, this is not the only way. We won't have time just to mention these things because I've got a whole committee coming on after me. And if one guy can take this long, you can imagine what a committee is going to do. He gave certain privileges to Peter that a person who didn't follow him never had. I'm just going to mention them. He saw the 12-year-old daughter of Jairus raised from the dead. He went up on the Mount of Transfiguration and he saw Christ in the glory that he's going to have in the future kingdom. He saw Moses and Elijah there on that mount with Christ. He heard how they were talking about the cross, that very thing that he didn't even want Jesus to consider. This was what heaven was concerned about. He was on that mount with them. He was permitted to go into that Garden of Gethsemane after the other apostles were left behind. He and two others went with the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw the agony of Christ in his passion there. They knew what he was going through. They were so smitten with sorrow that they even fell asleep. But let me tell you, he was understanding more of the cross there. And then did you know that Peter had a personal appearance from the resurrected Christ. Before any of the other apostles saw him, Jesus appeared to Peter personally, alone there. What privileges. And not only that, but Jesus prayed for Peter. He said, Satan has desired to have you that he may tempt you, as sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you. All to have the prayers of Christ guaranteeing that that promise is going to be fulfilled. And even when Peter got tripped up in an awful sin, who was it restored him? The same Jesus. The same Jesus who made the promise restored him and said, keep on following me, Peter. Keep on following me. Is it? Christ is ready to make us. For some of us, maybe we have to hear that first thing, come after me. Maybe we haven't been doing that. Maybe we've never left all to follow him. For others of us, maybe we've done that, and Jesus is saying to us, well, keep on following me. That's simple, isn't it? You and Jesus. I and Jesus. Oh, that's simple. That's simple. Christ had to make it simple. Because you see, this message is for people not in just in countries where they have universities, but this message is for people who are saved down in the jungle who have never even been to school at all. God's ways are simple. But they are God's ways, and there are no other ways that you can substitute. You can go to CBC. You can graduate with honors. You can go on to other education, graduate with honors. And if you're not sold out like Jesus, like Peter was, you're not going to have a fruitful ministry. There's just one way, simple but necessary. Father, we thank thee again for him who is our shepherd, for him who is our maker. We thank thee for reminding us of our responsibilities to leave all and follow him day by day, day by day. Grant this, Lord, for his sake. In his name we pray. Amen.